To Strengthen a Nation, The American Legion Story, Part 10. A First Class Future, by Jeff Stauffer. The GI Bill at 75. Ever a Journey in Progress. On his first day as a U.S. Senator in 2007, Vietnam War combat veteran James Webb of Virginia introduced the Post-9/11 Veterans Educational Assistance Act. He had been working on it since he was elected 2 months earlier. He wanted to bring today's GI Bill benefits up to par with the original Servicemen's Readjustment Act of 1944, which was signed into law 75 years ago this month, during World War II. I looked at this both as a veteran and as the father of a young Marine in Iraq, and I started saying, if you're going to call these people the next greatest generation, you should give them the same opportunity for a future that the first greatest generation had. Webb said at a 2017 American Legion Centennial panel discussion at the National World War II Museum in New Orleans. Pay their tuition, buy their books, and give them a monthly stipend. Since the post-9/11 GI Bill was enacted in 2009, nearly 2.5 million veterans have used it. The 1944 measure educated more than 8 million World War II veterans and transformed U.S. economy and culture. But subsequent renditions were whittled to the point that they weren't keeping pace with skyrocketing higher education costs and had fallen out of step with the needs of 21st century veterans. The World War II GI Bill was principally seen as a readjustment benefit, not a recruitment benefit, not a reward, to allow veterans who had served their country to get back into the mainstream and compete with people who hadn't been in the military, Webb told the American Legion magazine. The Korean War version of the GI Bill, signed into law July 16, 1952, reduced the number of weeks a veteran could receive unemployment compensation after discharge from 52 to 26, and tuition funds were no longer disbursed to institutions, but were instead paid to individual veterans at a flat rate. Changes occurred after some colleges exploited the World War II GI Bill by jacking up tuitions. Korean War veterans were directly paid $110 per month to cover tuition, fees, books, and living expenses, regardless of where they went to school or the actual cost. The Veterans Benefits Readjustment Act of 1966, the Cold War Vietnam GI Bill, also disbursed funds on a flat basis per month, and although the rates were comparatively lower than other versions of the GI Bill, some 5.5 million Vietnam War veterans ultimately used some or all of their education benefits. What happened in that case was the maximum Vietnam veterans got, as I recall, was $340 a month, and it really depended on where you were geographically and the type of school you were going to as to how much that actually benefited you, Webb said. Nothing compared to the World War II GI Bill, other than the VOC rehab programs for the people who were wounded or left on disability. And then the Montgomery GI Bill was a peacetime GI Bill. The GI Bill was designed originally as a wartime readjustment benefit at a time when the draft was in place and people were involuntarily called into the military. The Montgomery GI Bill was a pay-in GI Bill, a matching funds GI Bill designed for the volunteer military as an incentive rather than a readjustment benefit. The Montgomery GI Bill, signed into law October 24, 1984, served veterans over the next 25 years and remains available for those who choose to forfeit a portion of their monthly pay while in the service to collect college assistance later, with a 10-year deadline to use the benefits. Most of today's new veterans, however, use the post-9/11 GI Bill, which Webb authored, introduced, and then engaged the American Legion, active duty personnel, and other veterans organizations to make modifications. The most important thing to me was to provide these people who have served since 9/11 the same opportunity for a first-class future as those who came home from World War II, Webb explained. You could see that the operational demands on the people post-9/11 and the repetitive deployments really were calling for something of this scale, that the Vietnam veterans should have had. and the World War II veterans did have. In addition to resuming the practice of paying full tuitions based on state college high averages directly to institutions, the post-9/11 GI Bill added the ability for a veteran with 10 years or more in the service to pass education benefits along to spouses and dependents, a feature Webb says was not in his original measure, but was added later after he learned, primarily from active duty personnel, how important that would be to them. His time between 1977 and 1981 on the legal staff of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs gave Webb an understanding of how to get the post-9/11 GI Bill right. Work with veterans and veterans organizations. At the time, he explained, the Pentagon opposed the measure altogether, as did many in senior Senate leadership, some of whom believed the benefit would drive troops out of the service, and others who thought the Montgomery GI Bill was just fine. We did it by working with the veterans groups, with the constituent groups, listening to them, some adjusting here and there, and convincing other people in Congress that what you really needed was this larger scope change in how veterans' education was being taken care of. Very similar to how the original GI Bill was brought to the Congress. The American Legion faced similar challenges with the military branches, lawmakers, and even some other veterans organizations who argued that money spent on college would put funding for disabled veteran care in jeopardy, who opposed the Servicemen's Readjustment Act of 1944. It took a nationwide media blitz backed by the William Randolph Hearst newspaper empire, the collection of 1,536 case studies from disabled veterans throughout the country who came home to little or no support, and a last-minute drama, June 9, 1944, to whisk Representative John Gibson from rural Georgia to Washington, D.C., to cast the deciding vote to free the measure from a deadlocked conference committee and advance it to President Franklin D. Roosevelt's desk for signing June 22, 1944. The first post-9/11 GI Bill, signed by President George W. Bush on June 30, 2008, and put into effect by President Barack Obama in August 2009, was modified in 2010 to expand eligibility for National Guard and Reserve veterans and offer benefits for online distance learning, along with increased on-the-job training options. The bill was later adjusted to pay in-state tuition rates no matter the veteran's residency. The Harry W. Colmery Veterans Educational Act of 2017, known as the Forever GI Bill, because it lifted a 15-year deadline to use the benefits for those discharged after January 1, 2013, was named in honor of the American Legion past national commander from Kansas, who worked late into the night during the winter of 1943 in Washington, D.C., assembling the original legislation in pencil on Mayflower Hotel stationery because, as he said at the time, the burden of war falls on the citizen soldier who has gone forth overnight to become the armored hope of humanity. The American Legion has not lost faith in the veterans. I think the GI Bill fundamentally changed American society because it opened up the doors of opportunity to veterans, some of whom, perhaps given their backgrounds and their economic status, would have never had the opportunity to do anything beyond serving their country, explained U.S. Air Force General Les Lyles, chairman of the board at USAA and a member of the American Legion's 100th Anniversary Honorary Committee. They would never have been paid back, if I can use that term, though paid back is a little bit of a misnomer because they didn't want to be paid back. But the country owed them that sort of tribute, if you will, for what they had done. Speaking at a November 2018 hearing, former House Committee on Veterans Affairs Chairman, U.S. Representative Phil Rowe, Republican Tennessee, said his college benefits were vital to his early years and career, with a wife and young child in the mid-1970s, and not much money after 2 years in the Army Medical Corps. In the hearing, Roe called the 2017 rendition a positive step in the GI Bill journey that both sides of the aisle can take pride in. The hearing, however, was to address payment delays due to computer problems with VA, forcing new legislation to protect student veterans from hardships caused by delays. Army veteran Michael Duer, who visited the American Legion Centennial exhibit, The Greatest Legislation, A Salute to the GI Bill, during the 10th Student Veterans of America National Conference in 2018, said the post-9/11 benefit was a beacon to him in the uncertain transition to civilian life. Knowing the GI Bill was there for me to continue my academic pursuits was a safety net, he said. When I got out of the Army, that kind of shaky time of transitioning, I knew I could go back to school. I was very grateful. The concept of the post-9/11 GI Bill was transformative, Webb explained. After 9/11, it should have changed, and we changed it. In concept, it was a mirror of the benefits that our World War II veterans got, shaped to the realities of today. The concept works. We had just gotten away from the concept. Jeff Stauffer is editor of the American Legion magazine. Caption: Army veteran and San Diego State University student Kiara Blanchard told the American Legion in 2017 that the GI Bill provided her a path to higher education. Sidebar: With the signing of this bill, a well-rounded program of special veterans benefits is nearly completed. It gives emphatic notice to the men and women in our armed forces that the American people do not intend to let them down. President Franklin D. Roosevelt, at the signing ceremony for the Servicemen's Readjustment Act of 1944, the original GI Bill. These expenditures, which will amount to approximately $11 billion, represent for the most part a continuing cost of World War II. In addition, they include the costs of services and benefits for the growing number of veterans of the fighting in Korea. President Harry Truman, in his annual budget message to Congress, after having signed the Korean War version of the GI Bill, July 16, 1952. The Greatest Legislation, an American Legion Centennial Salute to the GI Bill. The National World War II Museum in New Orleans officially kicked off the American Legion Centennial Program with a panel discussion to welcome The Greatest Legislation, an American Legion Centennial Salute to the GI Bill. A panel discussion and reception began the six-month exhibition there. Afterward, the display began traveling the nation, with stops at the 10th Student Veterans of America National Conference in San Antonio, Patriotic Hall in Los Angeles, the Montana Military Museum in Helena, Montana, and Iowa Gold Star Military Museum at Camp Dodge, Iowa, the George W. Bush Presidential Library and Museum in College Station, Texas, the 100th American Legion National Convention in Minneapolis, the George W. Bush President Library and Museum in Dallas, the Satilla Regional Library in Douglas, Georgia, and the American Legion Department of Georgia headquarters in Atlanta. The display of illustrated panels, artifacts, and video kiosks was set to continue traveling throughout the centennial year and beyond in recognition of the GI Bill and its evolution. Former U.S. Senator James Webb spoke at a 2017 panel discussion that began the GI Bill display journey. We are saying to the brave Americans who serve us in uniform, in camps and bases, in villages and jungles, that your country is behind you, that we support you, that you serve us in time of danger. President Lyndon B. Johnson, at a White House ceremony to sign the Veterans Benefits Readjustment Act of 1966, the Cold War Vietnam War GI Bill. GI Bill and business. Entrepreneurial benefits for veterans have periodically surfaced during wartime. Such benefits took the shape of land grants in the 1700s and 1800s. Later, they evolved into small business and farm loans in the 1900s. The 1944 GI Bill's Entrepreneurial Insurance and Loan Guarantee Program created 229,245 loans to start small businesses and an additional 71,158 loans to finance farms. That investment has been credited with massive U.S. economic expansion following World War II. In 2016, the American Legion National Convention passed a resolution seeking expanded opportunity for veterans to use a portion of their post-9/11 GI Bill benefits to capitalize small businesses. Sean Ricks, president and CEO of Ricks Roasters, writes, talks with Justin Garrity, president of Veteran Compost, during the second annual Veterans Showcase in Washington, D.C. Programs for veterans are among the most important federal responsibilities. I am therefore delighted to approve this bill. President Ronald Reagan, after signing the Veterans Benefits Improvement Act of 1984, the Montgomery GI Bill. We owe a debt of gratitude to our nation's military families. They endure sleepless nights and the daily struggle of caring for children while a loved one is serving far from home. This legislation will make it easier for our troops to transfer unused education benefits to their spouses and children. It will help us to recruit and reward the best military on the face of the earth. It will help us to meet our responsibilities to those who support our troops every day. America's great military families. President George W. Bush, on signing the Supplemental Appropriations Act of 2008, which included the post-9/11 GI Bill.